2 to Hallmark. Swing and a miss, and the Buckeyes are Big Ten tournament champions.
Here comes Evans, attempt on 2-2. Ground ball to second. Wagner's got it. Ball to first.
In the air, this could do it. Lucky. Coastal Carolina wins it again.
In an attempt to bring this thing down the stretch, and the 2-1 in the center, right there is Price. And on a year when Georgia is on the mind of baseball fans everywhere, the Southern Conference Championship is going back to Macon.
Are you not entertained?
Boom! It is time to go. Episode 47, the conference championship edition of the 11.7 podcast. James and I can barely sit in our seats right now because we just spent 5 days of electricity coming from our TV into our brains, all college baseball, nonstop, maybe 10 hours of sleep total. This is what we do. This is what we live for.
I forgot to feed myself a couple days. Ben, it was unreal. I feel like the tournament started already and it hasn't. Maybe it's because it's our first year doing this. We had so many fans along with the ride for us on Twitter, on social media, on Instagram. We're punching people's tickets, sending them off to Omaha, sending them to the college, Field of 64. Let's go, dude. Let's go.
It is literally unbelievable. Like, we should have had a Netflix crew document this whole thing, because to see your reactions and my reactions, especially when my Mercer Bears won the SoCon title.
Congratulations.
After being a 4 seed, nobody freaking counted them in. Everybody was like, all right, the Mercer Bears, they were 15-20 at one point this year. They're starting 4 freshmen. They have 3 upperclassmen on their whole team. Like, this is a team that came from nothing and rallied together and won like 17 of their last 25 games and then went 6-1 in the SoCon tournament.
How crazy is that?
They went like 23-9 to finish the regular season. And just to put it in the books, Mercer has won 35 plus games, 10 seasons in a row, one of only 3 teams to do it. Like, they had to win 6 games in the tournament to do it, coming in at 29 wins, and now they're at 35. But, like, that's not the only story we have to talk about today. We are talking about all of the craziness that happened in the conference tournaments, especially today, getting people's tickets punched. Everybody's all going to be planning their watch parties tomorrow. It's going to be just a grand old time, and we're here documenting it all for you guys.
Oh, yeah. Fans. That's right. And you're listening to the official podcast of College Baseball Hub, but you just heard the calls from Liberty, from Southern Miss, from McNeese, from Coastal Carolina, from Mercer. It was absolutely electric. And every game.
And don't forget about Ohio State.
And Ohio State. Oh,
somehow coming out of that Big Ten tournament, they were the 7 seed. No, I didn't even know Ohio State had a baseball team, James.
Okay.
Like, I thought we were gonna finish with the top four of like Indiana, Illinois, Michigan, and Nebraska. Like, I thought the teams, and that was it.
I was gonna open the show with this. I was gonna ask you, like, who would you bet to win the Big Ten tournament? You know, Illinois, Indiana, Minnesota, Michigan, maybe Nebraska. Ohio State comes out and closes the door. You know, the kid, I can't pronounce his name, he got the save for Ohio State. He closed out 4 games in the tournament.
This conference tournament time is when heroes are made and seniors just let their big old balls hang out and just say, this is all I got. I'm doing it for the boys. You see pitchers pitching 200 innings a weekend or 200 pitches a weekend, coming in crazy situations. Like, this is where heroes are made. And, dude, like, there was heroes for every team.
It's literally we're watching these guys push the limits of human performance. Like, for example, I'm fired up. We're getting into it right now. There were two things I saw this weekend that put chills on my chills, man. Chills on the back of my
chills
neck.
On your chills.
My chills had chills, dude. So the first one is Central Arkansas's senior. His last name's Thompson, I believe. Corey Duncan, I think his last name is. He's a senior, number 15 for the Central Arkansas Bears. The dude throws a he's a senior. He throws a complete game on Wednesday, 100 pitches, and he comes back on Saturday night to close out McNeese State. Comes in to his first relief appearance of the year. You know, they haven't called his number out of the bullpen all year, right? That's not a thing. Like, Corey doesn't do that. Like, but it's might be his last game, though. It might be our last game, and we need to win. So guess who's coming out of the pen? Could you imagine, like, Ben, as a former Division I baseball player, could you imagine, like, the leader of your team coming out of the bullpen to win a must-win game for you? Like, there's going to be no better feeling for those kids. And basically the guy goes out there and he gets it done. After every pitch he threw, he just reached his glove asking for the ball before it even hit the catcher's mitt. He's throwing 92, 93 miles an hour on the radar gun, asking for the ball back and getting the ball, taking two steps back on the mound. He's ready to go again. And so UCA got the win. They come up short today against McNeese. But
to another Cinderella story with McNeese. Yeah. And I think it's been like something like 16 years since McNeese State has won the Southland. But James, I got to ask you a question. What gives you more chills? Like a senior that kind of puts the team on his back and says, like, this is all I got. Like, if we don't win this, I'm done. Like, this is for me. This is for my legacy. Or do you prefer the kid that comes out of nowhere and maybe has five innings on the year and goes, you know, seven scoreless? Because we had plenty of that as well.
Dude.
We had plenty of kids who had less than 10 innings on the year come out and shut down teams, put their team in a position to win a tournament. And let me just give a shout-out to Mercer's freshman, Jackson Kelly, walk-on from a small private school in Georgia, side-armer. He's thrown 11 innings all year. And now he has to go up against the Bambinos of Samford, the Samford Bulldogs, who have just rolled through that conference the last couple of years, Mercer's enemy, and comes in last night, game five of the tournament, and starts a game. Sidearmer starting a game.
He started?
That's all they had left, James.
And, dude, I love it. This is happening everywhere. This is happening everywhere.
And he goes six scoreless with six punchouts. He only had, I think, eight. No, he had six strikeouts in 11 innings. And he doubles it and goes six scoreless against the best team in the SoCon to put Mercer in the championship game today, where they end up winning two.
So you're telling me, so yesterday Mercer starts a kid who's got, you said 11 innings all season?
I think 10? So, maybe 10 or 11, somewhere in there.
11 innings all season. They start him yesterday.
Walk-on freshman.
They need him to win just so they can win two more games a day.
Yeah.
Unreal. And this happened all over the country. Liberty had to beat a team twice. Coastal Carolina had to win two games in the semifinal just to get to the championship. This stuff's unreal. So to answer your question, I can't compare it.
I like it all.
When you defy the odds, like, you're a winner. You're like, it doesn't matter like how you did it, whether you're like you said, the walk-on freshman who, like, you sit at the end of the dugout all year, and next thing you know, like, you're in the biggest game and you're laying it, putting it on the table. The way I like to say it.
Just basically saying, like, this is me. This is who you have. Like, you might not know who I am because I haven't played much, but watch this. And dude, I bet, like, the teammates probably got more fired up for that, seeing a kid that they don't expect to do anything, like, even close to that. Like, you get your teammates pumped up two different ways in these situations. I think we hit them both. With the senior that has already thrown, that has laid his balls on the table and said, like, this is me. And then you also have the walk-on kid who, like, nobody can expect to even come close to that. So we got some feel-good stories. But, James, tell us a little bit about this TCU guy that you've just been raving about, who is kind of like a miracle, I'm going to say, because I'll let you take the story. But it's a miracle that he was put in this position and he performed the way he did. TCU starting pitcher. Go ahead, James.
Okay, so what Jared Janczyk did for Texas Christian University gave me chills and damn near almost made me cry. And I'm going to tell you why. Because Jared Janczyk used to be an absolute dude. He's a redshirt senior. In 2017, he throws 96 innings for the Horned Frogs, 100 punch-outs, takes him to Omaha, like a 2.5 ERA, like 9-3 on the mound, an absolute monster. And then you move forward to 2018, his redshirt junior year. He's having an okay year, and then he starts to have some neck pain. And by the end of the year, by April 18th, TCU shuts him down, diagnosed with thoracic outlet syndrome, which is basically where the nerves in your elbow get compressed. This is not Tommy John, totally different thing. The nerves in your elbow get compressed, and it leads to neck pain and neck stiffness in his case, but some neck pain and tingling in your fingers. You basically can't feel your hand.
And let me say this. Everybody thinks that, like, Tommy John or rotator cuff surgery is the worst thing that can happen.
This
like,
is it.
No, that's just, like, stuff ripping. Like, you can go in and repair it. When you're talking nerves and, like, your nervous system, there's no guarantee that you're coming back even close to, like because you can't just go in and put new nerves in. Like, you can go put a new ligament in, easy. Like, you're out 8 months. But, like, this might be something that lasts the next 50 years.
You're exactly right. So
this is scary stuff.
Yeah, so this injury derails his redshirt junior year. He only throws 42 innings, but he still gets drafted in like the mid 30s, like 35th, 36th round. So they shut him down, and he has two surgeries last season. Okay, he gets the surgery to help repair his elbow, and he actually gets his shoulder scoped as well to clean up the damage in there. Okay, so typically the thoracic outlet syndrome is at least a year, but he comes back for his redshirt senior season to lead the Horned Frogs, and it literally just goes terribly bad. Like,
he's just a shell of himself, right?
Yes, I'd seen him pitch this year, and I have watched him pitch in midweek games when they're just trying to get him right, and they've been trying to get him right. And as he walks off the field after disappointing outing, one after another, the announcers for TCU are like, and it's a legendary career coming to a sad close. And it was like, it was so sad, but like, this type of stuff happens. You know, it's not like he's the first kid ever it to happen to, but it was sad. So then that, just to tell you how bad Janczak's senior year has been, his ERA has gotten down to 6.2 before the weekend. Got it down to that.
Okay? Wow.
So it hasn't been doing well. His longest outing of the year is 4 1/3 at UT Arlington. Okay, not like pitching 8 innings against Texas or Texas Tech like he used to do and slamming doors and punching tables.
Yeah.
Like 4 1/3 against UT Arlington on his redshirt senior season. So it can't get any worse, right? So yesterday, TCU has their backs against the wall. They know they have to win this tournament to get into the field of 64. And they have to beat Oklahoma State twice to do it, and they're out of pitching, right? And Jared Janczak has turned into like one of the last guys on the roster, and it's not because of his talent, it's just because he's literally not who he used to be. Like, the game, the injuries have taken away what he used to be, and it's just so sad that happened to him. But then yesterday, TCU's out of pitching, and they have to beat Oklahoma State twice,
and they're like, hey, guess what, Jared, you got the ball, right. You're all I have left.
Right, and it's like this, I don't know, like Braveheart type moment where like all the kids I just know are like, Coach, who are we gonna throw? Who are we gonna throw? Like, we're gonna roll Janczak out there and just see what he's got. And it's kind of like this, like, not waving the white flag, but like a fight you can't win, like against Oklahoma State, like the Bash Brothers of the central part of America, like of the Big 12, like these
the
guys.
The hottest team in the nation too.
Yeah.
I would argue.
So what does Jared Janczak do? Oh, I just got chills looking at his box score. He rolls out for 6 innings, punches out 12 Oklahoma State batters, 2 runs, and TCU finds a way to win the game. Finds a way to win. And
puts,
the
and
last
he just,
time he may ever pitch in his life, Ben.
Yeah, because I don't think they're making the 64, like the field of 64, but he put them in a position to almost get that automatic qualifier. And I think that just wraps up his legacy. Kind of like, have you ever seen Rookie of the Year?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a great story about it. Yeah.
Yeah. He's kind of like the Rocket on Rookie of the Year, where he's like Mr. Dynamic, electricity. He throws hard, like he gets people out. He's a legend, and he goes through some arm problems, right? And he just battles through that last start to put Henry Rowan Gardner in position to win the game. And that is exactly what Jared Johnzak did. It gives me chills too, because we saw his interview after, and he was like in shock,
It's literally like the baseball gods aligned, and just allowed for that performance to happen. Like something special happened last night on that field. 6 innings, 12 punch outs. He hasn't pitched more than 4 1/3 all year. He hasn't struck out more than 3 people in a game all season, and he's not who he used to be, and he knows it. But something magical happened yesterday, and it was just a highlight and an example of everything that happened in 31 different conferences all around the country this week. And dude, it yesterday and this whole week proved like what's so awesome about college baseball, man. I love it.
I think I would argue that conference tournament time is more like has more storylines and more people to root for than regional, super regional, College World Series. It doesn't matter, because you get stories like this of guys that know they're playing their last game and just step up to the occasion and lead their team to victory. And that's what happens whenever you play six games in 4 days. Like you physically as a team don't have enough arms to compete with that. So you have surprise guys step up. So that's an incredible story for TCU. I think that they're.
What else caught your mind? I had to give him like a serenade, you know, because he's done, man, and it was just so awesome.
Yeah, no, what caught my mind big time this weekend was the Southern Miss Golden Eagles. We all saw the potential fight that Fred Franklin almost got into, because it was back-to-back at-bats. He got thrown at the head, mostly because he was squaring around early. This actually goes back to him dislocating the first baseman's arm of Rice like the day before. So this is the second time they played Rice in the tournament. And he goes to square around. We've seen the video. I think it had like 100,000 views on Twitter. And
No way.
Something like that.
No, you're right. I can't believe it.
And so he squares around a bunt, and a lot of pitchers are taught to throw up and in because it's hard to bunt that pitch because you're trying to save your life. But back to back at bats, and he knew he thought that there was some reasoning behind it.
Sense.
Yeah, like, hey, you hurt our dude. Like, get in the box. Like, we're gonna potentially hurt you. Like that's what we're doing, and we're trying to get an out along the way. And so the Golden Eagles had one of the most exciting weeks in conference play or in conference tournament out of all the nation, because they went on a walk-off home run game one. Matt Wallner, potential first round pick, his parents listened to the show, so what's up, Mr. and Mrs. Wallner? He hits a walk-off home run. They're going nuts. Their emotions are high. Go back the next day. Fred Franklin dislocates the first baseman for Rice's arm. Like there was some words being said. Wasn't on purpose by any means. The next day, they almost get in a fight with Rice again, and they end up throwing a no-hitter, right? So more emotion. So you got highs and lows going up and down, highs and lows. And then they go out today against FAU, and Southern Miss is a bubble team, and they have been pretty much all year.
Yeah.
And they needed to win this tournament to qualify for the Field of 64. And they go out and shut out FAU in front of like 4,000 Southern Miss fans.
That stadium was filled to the brim.
Yeah, so they're in Biloxi, which is about an hour and a half south of Hattiesburg. And Hattiesburg travels. Like, that is a college town, old, old college town, where a bunch of old people, like, that's the only thing to do in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. So they traveled an hour and a half south to Biloxi, the conference tournament. And poor FAU, the number one seed in the tournament, has to go up against 4,000 screaming Golden Eagle fans. And they get shut out. Walker Powell throws like 6 shutout innings. He's their Friday guy. And Southern Miss is in the tournament. And we all know that my little brother is a manager for Southern Miss. I called him earlier today. He was hype. Like he's hoping that Mercer and Southern Miss get put in a regional somewhere together, which is a possibility. Yeah. And that Southern Miss team beat they beat Mississippi State on Friday night earlier this year. Mm-hmm. And with Ethan Small pitching, even though Ethan Small shoved it up their butts, I think he went like 9-9 scoreless, and they ended up winning in the 10th. But that's like, I think, maybe one of the only teams to beat Mississippi State on a Friday night. So they're legit. They're going to be a very scary 3 seed, and they're just playing with a lot of emotion right now. Like, this is a team used to winning, and they didn't win a lot of games early in the year, and now they're hot. So the emotional roller coaster that Southern Miss put me on this weekend was incredible. I loved it almost as much as I loved the Mercer weekend that happened. But we'll get into that more later. I have a lot to say about Mercer, but I know a lot of fans on this show don't really care about the old mid-major Cinderella story.
I don't know, man. I feel like the people that are inclined to listen to a college baseball podcast that puts out shows three times a week, I feel like they want it all. You know, I really
you want me to give it to it right now? I'll give it to you. I'm holding a lot in.
What are you feeling right now, man?
Okay, I'm feeling a good little 2 to 3 minute Mercer just blast right here, because the Mercer Bears show up this year and their two best hitters get hurt before the season. Lee Bassett, freshman All-American last year, 17 homers, tears his Achilles the day before spring practice starts. Like last day of early morning conditioning, Lee Bassett tears his Achilles. He's out the whole year. left-handed bat, was hitting the middle of the order all year last year, was going to be a dude for him this year. And then Brandon Michi, an Australian kid who played last year for Mercer, he ended up hitting like close to 390 last year, I want to say, with like 13 homers, 15 doubles. Like him and Bassett were their 3-4 hitters. He goes down in the summer, tears his ACL. They think he's going to be ready for the season this year. He's not ready, so he's getting redshirted. So their two best bats gone. See ya. Like not in the lineup, which forces them to start two more freshmen. And so this Mercer team was 15-20 at one point and in last place in the SoCon when I saw them play at Wofford back in March. And I was like, this is bad. Like, this program has won 35 games the last 10 years, and they'll be lucky to win 20. Like, their pitching staff was inexperienced. They had nobody in the order to hit for power except for Kel Johnson, who's a Georgia Tech transfer. Thank God for him. He's a Georgia Tech grad transfer. But so Mercer starts rolling. Like, I stopped going to games. Mercer starts rolling.
I remember told me, you're like, dude, I'm not going anymore.
I was like, I'm not going to watch this anymore. Like, I can't watch four freshmen starting and making errors and striking out. Like, I can't do it. And like, I don't want to see it. Like, not that I was giving up on the team, but I was like, this is like,
it's not a way I want to spend my time.
Yeah. Like, I had other college baseball games to watch for this podcast. So they start rolling. Like, the Ben Upton jinx in full effect. They win 17 of their last 25, including like a 10-game winning streak in there. And then I show up. So they win the first game of the SoCon tournament pretty easily. And I show up game two. Like, me, knowing I'm a jinx, show up game two, Mercer versus Samford in the SoCon tournament. And Mercer gets obliterated, 11-0. And I was like, it's done. Like, they're out of pitching. Mercer's best pitcher, Kevin Coulter, was throwing, senior, 4-year starter, like all conference this year. Their only bright side on the pitching staff, it seemed like, this season. And he gets shelled, like 7 runs in 3 innings.
So their best pitcher pitches and they lose. And now
they're in the loser's bracket. They have to win 5 straight.
And their best pitcher's done.
And it turns out, and I was like, all right, I'm not going anymore. Like, I'm a jinx. Like, I can't show up to my favorite team's games anymore. And it's the conference tournament. Well, what do you know? They win on Friday. They win 2 on Saturday. And then they win 2 today on Sunday. Like, the offense just started clicking. They had pitchers stepping up who didn't throw more than 10 innings all year. It was the most exciting baseball I've seen them play since maybe like my junior year when we had the Golden Spikes winner. And to put it in perspective on how hard it is to win that conference tournament, there hasn't been a repeat winner in that conference since like 2008 when Georgia Southern won back-to-back. And us, like, whenever I played 2016, 2017, we ran away with the regular season. We're the one seed in the tournament and we never won. Like, we never won the conference tournament, and we had the Golden Spikes winner one of those years. So it's like really hard to win that tournament, and losing game two puts you in a position you have to win 5 straight. Like, see ya. No way. That's not happening. Like, thanks for playing. And the heart of the Mercer Bears, the strategy that they had to implement, starting 4 freshmen and 2 sophomores and 2 juniors, it was incredible. And I'm very proud of that team, and they're a very scary 4 seed to watch. They're either going to get put in Georgia Tech's regional or Georgia's regional, a team they've had success in the past with. Even though Georgia Tech's beat them twice this year, it's hard to beat a team 3 times. So nobody wants to see the Mercer Bears as the 4 seed. I'm going to leave it as that. I'm not going to the regional, even though it's going to kill me. It's literally going to kill me. I'm staying home or finding another regional to go to for coverage. But, dude, at this pace, Mercer will win the College World Series. They will be the Coastal Carolina of this year, as long as I don't go to games. If I don't go, they're going to win. Like, that's the thing.
And you can mark it down. Just mark it down.
And the Ben Upton jinx is real, fellas. Like, this is as real as it gets. I'm not proud of it, but I'm starting to cope with it. I'm starting to realize that
stage
I have a special...
Stage one is acceptance.
Because this happens all the time. And James has known me since I was probably 8 years old, and he just knows that... The moment I start talking good about things, or the moment that I feel confident about something, it just goes straight to the dumpster. I've been labeled a jinx for probably 4 years now. I started realizing it, and it's real. So you don't want me mad at your favorite team during the regionals and the super regionals and the College World Series, because I will put a curse on you, and you will never get out of it. Never.
Well,
ask like Ole Miss this year.
Yeah, 100%. But leaving it at that, I was impressed with your boys. I was rooting on the Mercer Bears for you and with you. That was great.
Hey, tell me a little bit about this Coastal team, though.
Okay.
They're in your old conference. And
okay.
I want to hear it.
Well, the Coastal team has a special place for me because my old hitting coach – that's his alma mater, and that's where he currently resides. Chad Oxendine, shout out to him. So Coastal, as Ben said, wins the Sun Belt Tournament at their own home field. We're like, what is Coastal doing hosting this tournament?
I said it on a podcast. It's like, who agreed to this?
Yeah.
Who agreed to let Coastal host it?
Well, sure enough, Coastal Carolina loses their first game in the tournament. And who do they get in the nice losers bracket? The number one seed, Texas State. They get Texas State. Like, Texas State has a chance to send them home to cap off what has been a roller coaster season. You know, Coastal was a top 20 team for the first month, and then
Parker Chavers got hurt, and then they forgot how to hit.
Yeah, I mean, he did come back in relatively quickly, but they did forget how to hit after he was out for about two or three weeks. So Coastal's in the losers bracket against Texas State. I'm like, they're done. They're done. Well, Coastal Carolina says, we don't care who we have to play, because they set a Sun Belt record for home runs and hits in a conference tournament.
16 homers.
They hit another one after that. 17.
17 homers in like 5 or 6 games.
17 home runs. A Sun Belt conference record.
They scored 26 in one game, James.
Unreal.
The wind was blowing so hard out, and they must have been using lacrosse balls, because every single ball looked like it was rubber coming off the bat. Just
and
ping!
You know whose balls looked especially like that? How about Zach Bierman playing through the championship game, dehydrated today? Totally, like every.
That's his fault, by the way. That's his fault.
Well, it was a heat index of 102.
Drink some water.
Yeah. Where's Michael Jordan's magic stuff?
Yeah.
but today I want to give a shout out to Keaton Rivers. He hits a 2-homer game today. Coastal was down in the championship today, 6-0 in the fourth inning. And Keaton Rivers ends up hitting a 3-run homer to tie the game at 7 for his second homer of the day. You got to see that video. Those boys.
I saw it.
Okay.
The crowd was going nuts.
And so I spoke with Chad Oxendine, the baseball ops guy for him. He says he's never seen anything like this, and that there's the fight in that team is unreal, and no one wants to play them. I can promise you that.
Are they a 3 seed? They gotta be, right?
If they're gonna be a 3 seed in a tough regional, I guarantee.
East Carolina, easy. They're going to East Carolina as a 3 seed, and they're gonna roll through that regional.
They definitely have the bats to do it. So shout out to Coastal. They had to beat Louisiana Monroe twice yesterday just to get to the championship, and they were able to do that. So, and then today they come back on Georgia Southern. I mean, it's just unreal. And that video of Gary Gilmore, I've tweeted it out. It's on the 11.7. It's courtesy of Brian Quigley, a huge Coastal fan. The level of passion from that man when they got that out, dude.
It was like he lost control of his body.
Oh, it was like
it
a
was
break.
Like he, yeah. It was like he was playing – a mix between Dance Dance Revolution and Twister. Like, body parts were going all over. And it was amazing.
I felt like I was watching Braveheart or something, dude. I felt like we were just watching a Braveheart movie all weekend. Like, it was unreal, man.
All right, wait. Well, go ahead. One last thing, and then we got a segue.
Okay, well, I was going to hit up another unreal topic, Sacramento State.
Okay. That's a different direction than I was going, but I like it. Let's see it.
So Sacramento State wins the WAC conference tournament, the same conference where the New Mexico State Aggies have had a stranglehold over all season. The second group of Bash Brothers out there, they're done. They ain't going to be ruining anyone's season.
That's so sad.
You're not getting
best
Noah
offense
Song.
In the nation.
You're not getting Noah Song, who's going to beat anyone they played against, who's going to ruin someone's regional, guaranteed.
Yeah.
He's a pitcher for Navy. He's got 1.5 billion strikeouts.
I think he has 130 in 70 innings or something like that.
Disgusting.
It's like two per inning.
Yeah. So they're not going to be there. New Mexico State's not going to be there. But I'll tell you why New Mexico State's not going to be there. Because they were eliminated by the Sacramento State Hornets. And not only were they eliminated, they don't need to feel bad. Because Sacramento State, Ben, they eliminated every team from the conference tournament.
Everybody.
Six straight. It's a six-team tournament. And there were like two games that I think a couple of people had byes. I'm not sure. But there was two losers from the first game. For the first round, and then they played each other. So they won that and eliminated that team. Then they went and played Utah Valley, eliminated them. They eliminated everyone from the tournament and came back and beat Grand Canyon twice.
After they had a 17-inning game like 2 days ago, didn't they?
I think you're right, yeah.
Or maybe it wasn't 17. It was like 13, 14, 15, 16, somewhere in there.
Yeah, they did play extras.
So they played probably equivalent to like seven games in 4 days.
Unreal. They beat – everyone.
Everybody.
If you went home from that conference tournament, you could thank Sacramento State. Everyone went home thanks to them.
Trivia question for you. Who's their most notable alumni?
Sacramento State. I always think they're pitchers. Is it a pitcher?
No. Power hitter.
Oh, God. I've got no idea.
Reese Hoskins.
I saw that in our mentions.
Yeah. Reese Hoskins. Sacramento State. How did he fly under the radar in college?
Dude, that's wild. We got. I need to dive into that. That is a one in a million that I would have thought right there.
It's crazy. So let me segue into probably one of the sleepiest sleepers per se that you could ever imagine with the Cincinnati Bearcats going into the amazing conference of the American Athletic Conference where we had. Not only East Carolina who ran the show, but we had Houston, Tulane, UConn, all these teams that – Wichita State, UCF, all these teams on the bubble of the 64. Well, guess who finished second in that conference in the regular season? It was the Bearcats, and nobody was talking about them.
We noticed that. We're like, oh, dude, we haven't, like, talked about them once.
Yeah,
oh,
I think we mentioned it on our podcast.
No, we did. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
I was like, who – like, Cincinnati is a 2-seed? Like, okay, that's interesting. Like, they'll probably go 0-2. Like, they'll lose to the 7-seed and – Wichita State or whoever it was at the time. And they just rolled through the – like, they didn't lose one game, James. Like, they rolled through the American Conference in these sweet throwback gray jerseys that I saw multiple times. And the Cincinnati Bearcats, I don't know if they're talented or not, but they want it. Like, they want to win. I couldn't even name you their best player because we've ignored them for so long. And
yep. Our fault.
We've been spending so much time on ECU, UConn, Houston, Tulane, Wichita State, UCF, all these big schools. And Cincinnati's like, hello, we finished second. Like, we get a first-round bye.
We don't suck.
And now they steal a bid from probably either Florida State or Missouri because that's an automatic qualifier that we thought one of the top four or five teams in that conference would get.
Right.
And Cincinnati, I don't know. They might be the first – 4-seed from a Power 5 conference. I don't know.
Yeah, like, we will. Time will tell. Time will absolutely tell with them.
They're bowling right now.
Oh, yes, they are. Did you want to go ahead and roll through the automatic qualifiers? And before we do that, I want to give a shout-out to the Big Ten Conference. They put out over 1,700 people today between Nebraska.
How many?
17,000. I say 1,700.
Not 100.
Yeah, those are the type of numbers I've been used to hearing. They almost brought 18,000 people out. It was
10 times better because it was at TD Ameritrade where they host the College World Series, and it got me so fired up for June. So listen to this. While we're still in Omaha, on the topic of Omaha, Creighton, Omaha, and Nebraska are all going to be in the Field of 64. this has got to be the first time ever, because
so awesome.
It's three teams that are all within maybe an 30 minutes, an hour of each other. I don't know how far Lincoln is.
Omaha ain't that big. It can't be that big.
Speed limits have got to be like 100 miles an hour through the cornfields. But yeah, so like, could you imagine like a regional where you have a 2 seed in Creighton, a 3 seed in Nebraska, and a 4 seed in Omaha, and good luck 1 seed. Like, they're going to fly. Like, they'll all fly together. All of those schools are going to fly to a regional together. But anyways, that's just.
I bet you can't name me their mascot.
Omaha Bulls, Creighton Blue Jays, Nebraska Cornhuskers.
Omaha's the Bulls?
No, Omaha's not the Bulls.
Omaha, I'm trying to find it on their website. It just says.
I think there's like a Nebraska Omaha Bulls or something like that.
That might be a minor league team, Professor.
I don't know, man.
So you don't know that? I was correct. I bet you don't know. I don't know either, though.
But let's go ahead and get these automatic qualifiers.
They're the Mavericks.
That's kind of cool. Omaha sure. Mavericks.
It's great. But yeah, we can go ahead and roll out the automatic qualifiers. The ones that we haven't found a way to cover.
All right, you start us off because I don't have it pulled up right now. I have like 100 tabs open. All right, actually, I got it.
I've got it. No, I have it.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, we've got Coastal Carolina, obviously, from the Sun Belt. The MEAC sends Florida A&M. Army will come out of the Patriot League. Harvard comes from the Ivy League. Southern comes from the SWAC. UCLA clinches the regular season title. There is no Pac-12 tournament. UCLA will come from the PAC. Illinois-Chicago comes out of the Horizon League, upsetting Wright State. North Carolina clinches the ACC. The Campbell Campbells, we've talked about them on the show since day one. They come out of the Big South. Stony Brook will win the American East? Yeah, let's call it the American East.
Yeah.
Fordham wins the A-10. Omaha will take the Summit. California Santa Barbara takes the Big West, coming away narrowly against Cal Poly today with a victory. That was an awesome atmosphere. Big win.
That was yesterday, not today. But
yesterday, I tweeted about it today, I guess. Liberty wins the A-Sun. They had to come back and beat Stetson in 2 games. That was wild. You heard the call. Cincinnati, again, out of the American. And, Ben, if you want to jump in, you can, but I can keep rolling.
I have Creighton, a different list. My list is alphabetical, so you're bouncing around right now.
I'm sorry. I'm using our list. I've got Creighton from the Big East. UNC Wilmington wins the Colonial.
They upset Elon. They were the powerhouse of that, like with 2 or 3 All-Americans on that team, and they got it done in the tournament. UNC Wilmington was a super regional team, I believe, like not 4 years ago.
Yeah, 2015, I think.
Against LSU, I think they played a super regional.
And Wilmington's legendary head coach is in his final season, so he's going out on top in style. Those boys are going to be playing with house money. Indiana State wins the Missouri Valley. Surprising there. They are able to upset Dallas Baptist in
twice.
Two straight games, leaving no.
Indiana State go through the loser's bracket completely? Like, I think they lost game one.
I could be wrong. I think that could be a stolen bid scenario, leaving no chance for them to get screwed, you know, because Dallas Baptist is in. Fresno State wins the Mountain West. Central Connecticut State upsets Bryant in the Northeastern Conference. Wow. The Blue Devils. Oklahoma State wins the Big 12. Jacksonville State comes out of the Ohio Valley. Again, Sacramento State out of the WAC. Loyola Marymount comes out of the West Coast Conference. McNeese from the Southland. Southern Miss from Conference USA. Quinnipiac from the MAC. And Ohio State comes from the Big 10. Along with Mercer from the SoCon and Vanderbilt from the SEC. Those are all your automatic qualifiers. And if I have done my math correctly, Ben, that leaves 20. You take into account those teams and then the 16 host sites, which we're going to go over next. There are 22 at-large bids remaining.
22, that's it.
22, if I did my math correctly.
Wait, why is that?
Because so you have – so all the – there's 64 spots, so you take out 31 – for the AQ teams, okay? So you're looking at a remaining of 33, and then you look through all the regional hosts,
yeah.
And you see if any of the regional hosts come from the AQs.
and then you subtract it.
And
got
then,
it.
And then you you subtract. So you find how many of those are, see how many don't count, and then you subtract all the teams that are hosting that are at large bids.
Yeah.
So like, and then that's so I got to 22.
All right. Before we move on, I have some trivia questions for you, James, that you were very unprepared for.
Hit me.
I want you to name the only team that is making their first regional appearance, and also who has the worst record out of all of the automatic qualifiers.
Okay. You want me? Okay. Run me that question again. Let me think about this.
All right. So who has the worst record out of the automatic qualifiers? I'll give you a hint. It's below 500.
Oh, and it's got to be Central Connecticut.
No. Central Connecticut actually had not.
They have 27 wins.
Yeah. Let me see. I just had them pulled up. Central Connecticut is 30 and 21.
Okay. 30 and 21.
So there's a team that is worse than that.
Southern?
Florida A&M.
Okay, what's Florida A&M's record?
They're 27-32, and they just won like 5 games in their conference tournament. So they were 10 games below. Who is making their first regional appearance as a school?
Ever?
We've already talked about them.
Oh, man. First ever? Is it Sac State?
Omaha,
really?
Mavericks, first time ever. Could you imagine if they made it to Omaha?
It'd be nuts. Go Mavs.
Oh, go Mavs. We're rooting for the Omaha teams because I want to see TD Ameritrade filled up like it was today.
Every
that
was game. So wild.
It was just amazing. I loved it so much. Another key point I want to talk about for maybe some of our new listeners, you called this Campbell Camels team to be really good. Before the season even started, on our like first or second podcast, you said they're a mid-major team that could potentially get to a super regional because they're going to win the Big South and they're going to be just veteran enough and senior-led enough to win a regional.
And they've beaten good teams. They have beaten East Carolina this season. And they've also – I think they've beaten Wake Forest or NC State, one of those two teams off the top of my head. I'm going to look it up for later just so I can get it right. But go ahead. Yeah. Continue on.
No, that's all I have for that. Let's go over all 16 host sites. They were just announced a couple hours ago, and there's only a couple that are surprising. Like Oxford as a regional, a little surprising. I thought maybe Texas A&M.
Yeah, you want to just start here because that's my big surprise, dude.
Yeah, no, I think that Oxford is the sixth. They don't have the seeds yet as we're filming this, so. Bear with us, but with our guesses, Oxford is the 16th regional, which means they would match up against the most likely number one regional in a super regional, which is UCLA. So that'll be fun. Hopefully we can get a little SEC Pac-12 in a super regional. Another surprising one that I have is West Virginia. Like we didn't have them as one until, I guess, yesterday. We finally realized that West Virginia was in the Big 12 championship, and we're like, this team is good enough. Like the RPI is there. They can host a regional. We just weren't sure if the committee was going to give it to them or not. So that was a little surprise. But besides that, really everything else laid out perfectly. UNC and LSU needed big conference championship showings.
Surprised about LSU.
Yeah, but LSU, man, they competed in that SEC tournament with their backs against the wall. They beat Mississippi State. They played everybody close except for whoever they just lost to, Vanderbilt, a couple days ago.
Yep.
And I think the committee loves giving LSU regionals because I know it's going to be 12,000 fans every single game. It's going to be good for television.
And let me clarify. It's not so much that their resume or anything. Like they're definitely right there. It doesn't take a genius to figure it out. It's just surprising because for how long in the season, for at least 2 months, they just weren't even near that conversation.
They were a bubble team, I think, in March. They were below 500 in the SEC, and we were like, uh-oh. Like, if they don't turn it around, and they got swept by Texas early in this year. Swept.
So that was surprising, but just to finish the Campbell thought, they did beat NC State and East Carolina. So those are, like, their two marquee wins.
Yeah,
but,
and NC State was on that threshold of hosting a regional. It was, like, between them, Texas A&M, and Miami were, like, the next three out, in my opinion, for this regional host. I thought one of those three would get in ahead of Ole Miss, but I guess Ole Miss's resume, especially with the SEC tournament, where they played their balls off every single game. They blew a 9-1 lead today against Vanderbilt. because they were just completely out of pitching. Like that, this was like their seventh game of the tournament. You just can't play that many games and keep everybody healthy. If they were a team that was on the bubble of getting in the tournament, they might have thrown some of their arms for a second or third time. But they knew they were in the tournament. They felt like getting to the championship, it solidified a regional host for them. They didn't have to win that game, so they ended up throwing some pitchers that maybe wouldn't throw in that situation. But let's just go through the 16. Alphabetical order, not numerically.
Because we don't have the numbers.
Yeah, we
don't have the numbers.
Athens, Georgia. Atlanta with Georgia Tech. Baton Rouge for LSU. Chapel Hill for UNC, who ended up winning the ACC.
Right, so that's an AQ right there.
That's an AQ. And James, props to you because you called that before the year. You said UNC is going to win the ACC, and you said they're going to win the whole thing. That was your projection, and they're getting hot at the right time. They have freshmen hitting 3-4 hole for them.
Their freshman, Aaron Sabato, is a man. He literally looks like a big leaguer.
Right.
Literally looks like a big leaguer.
I bet he got drafted pretty high last year out of high school. I'm not sure. Maybe not. But UNC is a scary team.
Dude, the game is taking such a good turn that some of these kids are passing up multi-million dollars to, you know, get it 3 years later. Like this guy. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. And so moving on, we have Corvallis, which is Oregon State. And Oregon State was close, I think, to maybe not hosting. They struggled at the end of the year. I think they got in maybe as a 14.
I think it was out of necessity almost.
Yeah, they needed another West Coast team for sure. But I think they're probably 14 or 15 seed. We got Fayetteville, Arkansas, which is going to be very exciting. Their fans are going to show up and be rowdy. Greenville, which is East Carolina, that's another good home field for them. Los Angeles with UCLA, obviously. Louisville, which is maybe a regional, a national seed, 1-8, maybe. They're between 7 and 10 somewhere.
Yes, sir.
So it's going to be close. Lubbock is another one of those teams between 7 and 10 that we're not sure who's going to get the national seed. Then we have Morgantown with West Virginia. That's going to be wild. First ever host, and they got Alec Manoa going for him. Probably game one, unless they really want to roll the dice and throw him game two.
Yep.
But we'll see about that.
If they get the Campbell Camels, they should throw him game one.
Yeah, they got to. I think Campbell's going to be a 3 seed, by the way.
True.
We got Oxford for Ole Miss, Stanford, obviously. Nashville for Vanderbilt, Starkville, Mississippi State. Holy crap, I'm excited for that one. That place is going to be filled to the brim all 4 or 5 games for that regional. And then we have Stillwater, Oklahoma State, which is going to be the hottest team in the nation right now, in my opinion. They sweep Oregon State. They win the Big 12 tournament. They're scoring like 10 runs a game. Pitching staff's clicking.
And a little plug. You are going to learn a lot more about Oklahoma State in our regional preview that we are going to be dropping in about less than 24 hours now, and it's going to highlight the strengths and weaknesses of all of these teams. And it's for free.
Just got to go to our website. We'll have it up for you guys. Let's see. So those are the 16 regional sites.
Question, Mr. Ben Upton, sir. Who do you think are the 8 national seeds in that? You don't have to go in order. Just let me hear your thoughts.
I'll go in order. I'm not scared.
Not anymore. We're fired up today.
In my own personal opinion, this isn't what I think the committee is going to do, but the top 8 national seeds, if I was to choose, if I was the committee.
If we made the rules.
Yeah, if we made the rules, which we kind of do sometimes, but would be UCLA 1, very close Vanderbilt 2, even though I think Vanderbilt might jump UCLA
because
they're the best team in the nation, in my opinion. But so Vanderbilt 2, I would put Arkansas 3, Mississippi State 4, just because Arkansas swept Mississippi State earlier this year.
Right.
But I think that's going to be flip-flopped with the committee. But let's go Arkansas 3, Mississippi State 4, Georgia 5, Georgia Tech 6. Who am I forgetting here? Oh, Oklahoma State 7, Louisville 8, Texas Tech 9.
So Tech's your first one out.
I think. But maybe Louisville.
I'm not sure.
I think Louisville and Texas Tech are battling for the 8-9, and then East Carolina is 10.
Yeah, East Carolina is officially out of the hosting, the national season.
Going 2 and barbecue in the conference tournament just isn't going to get it cut.
No, sir. No, sir, you'd be correct. Stanford is officially out of that mix.
Yeah. Oregon State was close, but they're out.
Yeah, I think it's – three. I think you've got three teams for that last spot. I guess technically two teams in either. I think Louisville's going to get it. So that leaves either Oklahoma State, Texas Tech. Yeah, one of those two teams for that last spot.
I think you got to give it to Oklahoma State. Even though Texas Tech swept Oklahoma State this year, Oklahoma State's playing better baseball. Oklahoma State won the Big 12. They swept Oregon State on the road. Like, this has all happened in the last month.
I'm glad it's our decision because Texas Tech swept the Cowboys just not too long ago.
About a month ago.
Yeah, so I'm glad it's not our decision, but we are going to be breaking that down tomorrow. We're going to be extensively breaking down the history of the relatively recent history of the Field of 64. You know, how often do what number seeds advance the World Series? How often do they host their Super Regional like it's planned? How often do the four seeds win? We are going to be going nuts tomorrow. So special announcement now. You get another show tomorrow.
You get another show tomorrow. And tomorrow's show is going to be way more detailed, way more baseball savvy. We're gonna break down almost every regional. I probably will every regional, and we're gonna do a lot of fun things in between that. But we're gonna have some fun games. But going back to this magazine that we're putting out, just a quick thing. It's gonna be a PDF where you just go to our website, download it. It's for free. We're gonna have it on our donations tab, just because if you guys want to donate some stuff for the hours and hours of hard work.
We're looking to do is get some better equipment to make better stuff.
Yeah.
So that's what we're not going to take the money and go buy beer. Maybe. No, just kidding.
But no,
we need cameras and we need all sorts of
microphones.
Stuff.
Like the little mics that we can interview people. We're going to put it to good use. We think and this is not going to be just some we're going to throw together. We've spent hours this weekend. Like I was saying, we got 2 or 3 hours of sleep every night because we've been putting up these previews for the automatic qualifiers. This magazine is going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have All-American teams, probably 2 or 3 of them. We're going to have Player of the Year. We're going to have Pitcher of the Year, Coach of the Year, all that fun stuff.
And our top fans of the year, we might do 10 of them, 10 top fans.
We are going to do 10 of our top fans who listen to the show, interact with us on social media. So this is your last push. You listening to this show, last push to get in our top fans. We're going to have that out as well. So
Ben, I've got a special thank you for the fans right now, because tomorrow we get to be a part of the conference call with the committee chair. I can't remember the guy's name right now. Ray Tanner. He's coach for
South Carolina.
Someone said NC State on TV.
We won two national championships for South Carolina.
South Carolina was so good when we were
playing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we're going to be a part of that tomorrow to get to hear the committee's rationale for everything. And I want to say that's really your accomplishment, you listening right now. Because if it wasn't for people that listened to the show and gave us feedback and were there to consume what we're putting out, then we wouldn't get to be a part of that. So give yourself a round of applause and pat on the back, because you helped build this. Honestly, you guys built this. We're just, here to give you what you want, honestly. So thank you.
Yeah, so that pretty much wraps up our show. You guys enjoy tomorrow's – hopefully you're listening to this before the selection show comes out at noon. But you guys enjoy tomorrow. It's going to be a fun time. We're going to continue to give you the best coverage in college baseball. We're going to interact with you guys as fans, players, coaches, all that fun stuff. We're bringing everybody together. It's going to be a fun last week of May and all of June. We're excited. Don't let it stop. Don't let this ever end.